Welcome to Masters of Our Domain, the podcast which was formerly about the hit 90s sitcom Seinfeld and is now about classics and things of that nature, and chiefly the show Those About to Die. I'm Milo Edwards, and I'm joined, as ever, by my intrepid co-hosts, Phoebe Roy and Patrick Wyman. How are we doing?
Doing okay.
You know, okay. Living life, living the dream.
You actually are living life. You're on holiday. You're joining us live from holiday.
Exited a fight with over some cheese with the baby.
No, that's did you have to pay cheese tax?
It was not a baby bell. Mm-hmm. It was some Somerset Brie.
Oh. Ooh.
And the baby.
I thought that's a bit advanced for a baby.
And the baby fancied it. He's not allowed solids yet.
No.
But he fancied the look of my Brie.
Well, it is sort of halfway between a solid and a liquid, isn't it, Brie? It's kind of it's a goo.
So sort of non-Newtonian fluid.
Yeah.
Somerset Brie.
Yeah, that's right. Do you reckon you're raising a West Country baby? Well, that would actually make sense.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Although I'm not sure if Cornwall's too far west, if you then get out of West Country and into kind of hitherto unknown territory.
Well, I mean, from an ethnic basis, he's culturally West Country. He doesn't practice.
we're doing George phrenology.
what would practicing West Country look like?
Cider drinking, combine harvesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voting Lib Dem.
Flinging yourself off a hay bale as a summer
or chasing
activity.
Cheese down a hill, of course.
Well, that's Gloucestershire, no?
I'd call that the West Country. Would you not call that the West Country? That's borders Somerset.
I guess so. I would call it more a kind of a sort of Cotswolds overspill.
I think if you're not calling Gloucestershire the West Country, you're into some severe decay of the concept of the West Country.
I think you have to be within the sound of the Tintagel bells to be in the West Country.
But I think Tintagel is possibly not the West Country. I think it's too far south and west. I feel like West Country is your Somerset and Avon nexus, you know?
Well, then Cornwall's not the West Country either, because Tintagel is in Cornwall.
No, well, that's what I was saying to you before. I was like, is George from too far west to be called the West Country? It's like how, you know, Hawaii's not the West Coast. It's like, I mean, it's technically as far west coast as you can get, but yeah.
It's definitely its own thing. Like, everybody knows Hawaii's its own thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So Cornwall is the Hawaii of the UK.
Right. Okay.
It's the Aloha County.
Just as an outsider to the UK.
Yeah.
The idea of calling something Cornish is never going to stop being fucking funny to me. Like that's just a hilarious word. Cornish. Like that's never going to not be funny to me. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. That just is the way it is.
You know, in England, they build a wall. They build out of corn.
Yeah, we're about to live in the dumbest 4 years. Yeah. Like, it's going to be, I don't think we're prepared for how fucking stupid it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I, for one, can't wait to see what happens here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to some more cute little nicknames. I think that's all I can say.
Trump is gonna meet Keir Starmer, and he is gonna give him a nickname.
Oh, he'll already be workshopping nickname.
I hate to say this.
Yeah.
He doesn't care who Keir Starmer is, and he's not gonna come up with a nickname for him. He's not important enough.
Just gonna like call him Ken Starmer because he just hasn't really listened in the briefing.
He's not gonna address him at all. Like, he's gonna go there and even if he meets with him, even if he speaks with him personally, he's gonna talk about Arnold Palmer's dick or something. The topic of Keir Starmer is never gonna come up because he doesn't care. Like,
dear.
I welcome what the president has said about Arnold Palmer's penis. I encourage him to go further by moving on to some topics that are pertinent to growth in this country. Not just the growth in Arnold Palmer's trousers.
It's a matter of girth, really, is what it is.
It's always a matter of girth.
That is true.
It's a girthy country. That's where...
yeah. Yeah, we're more of a length country. America has more girth, it has to be said.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we have watched almost as cogent as that conversation we were having just then, Those About to Die, Season 1, Episode 6. I will keep saying Season 1 because, you know, they might make another season. Although, with every subsequent episode I watch, it feels less and less likely.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you. I feel like this was the best one of the bunch.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I've got some capital T takes here.
Ooh, we've got a three-way debate here because Phoebe thinks
a challenger appears.
Phoebe thinks it's the worst one.
Yeah, I think it's the worst. I think it's the worst one.
I think it's the second worst one after the previous one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like every day you wake up and it's worse than the day before. That's I mean, I'm on board with that. But I feel like their vision for what this show is becoming clearer and they're getting better at executing their vision. Ooh. Now, is the vision shitty? Mm.
Yes.
Not going to say it isn't. Not going to say it's not. But I feel like they are leaning into what they're actually trying to do at this point. Yeah.
We're Sheryl Sandberging the show.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We are and ironically, most compelling plotline, girl boss Numidian mom.
Yeah, there is a bit of girl bossing from the Numidian mom.
Yeah, she's got an idea of how to extract yet more money from the punters. Which I look, props, you know, this is capitalism. This is Rome, baby.
We're straying a little bit into the plot of that that film about Diane Keaton moving to the countryside and making baby food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it fucking called?
I know what I've seen that movie.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched that with my mom.
There is a film and it's got Diane Keaton in and she inherits a baby, right? Like
she inherits a baby. Yes, this baby belonged to your father during the war.
this isn't heirloom baby. Oh, this is rather wonderful. We don't see many like this. If you look at the bottom of its of its foot, you can just about see the kite mark there. Oh, this is very fine. This is a very fine baby.
Baby Antiques Roadshow.
We are, yes.
That's lovely.
God damn it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
That really is a wonderful arts really, and crafts baby. Do you know how your grandfather came into possession of it?
Yes.
Do you know how much it's worth?
Belle Epoque period baby.
I love the idea of Belle Epoque baby.
I would call that Art Deco. It's an Art Deco baby. Highly angular.
Yeah, yeah. So very angular baby.
We have these wonderful stylized roses at the corners. Yes, a very very fine baby. Yeah, she gets left the custody of a baby. One of her family members dies, mm-hmm. and she's the only surviving family member. So she has she works in Wall Street, and she suddenly has this baby.
Okay, she's like designated survivor, but for raising a baby.
Yeah, and then she moves to like rural New York, but because she's a girl boss, she starts a hugely successful baby food company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Have I hallucinated this fucking movie?
No, I'm almost certain that it exists, and I'm almost certain that I've watched it. I think I was pretty young when I watched it. It's not recent, right?
I was going to say, Diane Keaton, it feels like too old of a movie to have that 2008 of a plot line. Know what I mean? There's something jarring about those elements.
This is like Murphy Brown era girl bossing.
Yes.
Like single mother getting shamed by fucking Dan Quayle era girl bossing. different era of girl bossing, but part of the lineage.
Oh, this is a very fine girl boss. So do you know how your family came to possess this girl boss, because this is a different era of girl boss. It's a limited edition 1992 girl boss.
They were originally dreamed up as a novelty for George IV.
Pre-Clinton. This is girl boss.
At a
dinner
party.
And you found
it
in your attic. Wonderful. Wonderful.
He hosted a Saturnalia themed party at McEwen Hall in Edinburgh, mm-hmm. and he asked if all of the lords would come dressed as their ladies. And vice versa, because he thought he'd never seen a lady lord before, and then that was eventually that was handed down as the girl boss. And that's why the original girl bosses, you can see them here with these little tartan sashes on them.
Do you know how we know that they're genuine? Because this one, it comes with its own pantsuit. Mm. Only the original girl bosses come with their own pantsuits.
Note the shoulder pads. Note the shoulder pads. That's how you can tell it's
awesome. This is quite charming. You've brought in a tiny pewter Hillary Clinton. Now, this is... This is probably circa 1992.
Yeah.
Very nice. So that's a beautiful little piece.
So that's what's been going on. Let's talk about it. What's been going on? Let's set the scene. It's 79 AD.
Oh boy, is it? Do you want to hear what Wikipedia has to say about this episode
and how it covers?
None. Okay, it covers one scene. That's what the summary... Honestly, Wikipedia has given up on this show. Episode 6, Blood Relation. After arresting some senators and the consul plotting against him, Titus orders the inaugural games of the Colosseum in 80. That's it. That's the episode, guys.
Did that happen in this episode? Did I miss... Oh.
Yeah.
I missed him doing that? Okay.
So we get this. We do get a scene where Consul Penry Jones, spurred on by his wife, the MILF, he gathers some senators, but not all. I don't know whether it's supposed to be all the senators in the logic of the show. That's nowhere near enough guys. It's like 15 guys.
Yeah. It's supposed to be. He actually, in all scrupulous fairness, he does actually say that he is gathering together the fence sitters in the Senate. Now,
are they supposed to be meeting in the Senate chamber? Because also that's nowhere near big enough of a room, but it is laid out like the Senate chamber.
Maybe it's like a kind of mini Senate chamber that he's kind of like set up.
Like a breakout room.
Yeah, more like that thing that they do, that nerds do in school, Model UN.
Oh yeah,
he's got a model senate in his house.
Do you reckon Roman like posh nerds did model senate? Like those guys?
Absolutely.
Yes, I do. Yeah, yes, I absolutely do.
Fucking hate it. I'm Cato the Elder again.
Yeah, I'm workshopping a joke about the breakout senate chamber having a cuck chair. You've got any suggestions, I'd love to hear.
We can definitely put a pin in that. Just imagine like Cicero's kids complaining that he has to have his birthday party at the Model Senate.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to go to a ball pit, but instead
yeah.
Yeah.
I think actually the Romans they would have considered the cuck chair to be like the highest honor. You're kind of like the emperor, like looking upon the games. You know, it would be kind of beneath you to be involved. Mm. You consent to sex? Wasn't there someone you forgot to ask? Always leave a chair for the emperor.
Always leave a chair for the emperor. What, like he's Elijah?
Yeah.
The prophet.
Just in case. Just in case he wants to come in.
Well, we've invited him. He never comes. Sometimes. You know what he does? He says, maybe I'll stop by.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stop by.
Does a thumbs up react sometimes. Never turns up.
Sometimes he says, LMAO. And then we don't hear from him for 6 days.
No, it's like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights leaving a pair of tickets for his dad. That's what the cuck chair is for.
Yeah. I wish my dad would come and watch me fuck just one time. He doesn't care about my interests. I'm not his favorite son. He watches my brother fuck all the time.
And yet again, Roman
imperial family conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, and yet again, we return to 1994's Hook.
This is all quite. None of this is outside the bounds of Roman upper class sexual mores yet.
No.
Yeah, we haven't. We have Scorpus saying that he needs his winnings so that he can have his victory orgy. We do have that.
Annabelle did say to me during this episode, because she just kept being like, she didn't know the names of any of the characters, so she kept going, yeah, that guy. And I'm like, yeah, the Emperor. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, well, the only character whose name I know is Scorpus, because he keeps saying it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that is true.
But that would have been quite helpful, because it's not 1,000% apparent who all the characters are. Yeah. So if
Scorpus has had media training, he's got great brand awareness.
Yeah.
He's like, he knows you've got to say your name constantly.
Scorpus is a really good salesman. He just says not just everybody else's name, but his own name, just several times a sentence. So okay, so this is actually explained, but in quite an annoying way. In the Penry Jones says, oh well, you know, we'll have a meeting with the fence sitters in the Senate. They don't say what the fence sitting is pertaining to. So this is sort of referencing this kind of rich off-camera dispute happening in the Senate under Marsus the Consul, which we're not told about and we don't see any of, because we're too busy for some reason watching another fucking chariot race. So that's what's going on there. Titus and Domitian get tipped off, and so they kind of toddle along to listen to it.
They're listening to it from the sluice grate in the floor of the Senate breakout room for some reason. Like, because it's like the room they use for like piss play or something.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be a great room to get attacked by a big German man. That's all I'm saying.
That's the room that feeds the piss in the sewer. Did you know that until potentially the 18th century, if women wanted to hear parliamentary proceedings, there was a little room in the Houses of Parliament, and they would have to like listen to it through the floor or like through the vents.
Yeah. Well, of course, there was an easier way, which was just to dress up as a bloke, you know, the original girl boss
in the pantsuit.
You'd confidently give your name
in the pantsuit. In the Hanoverian pantsuit, it involves a kind of a hat and enormous shoulders.
Big fake beard.
I'm Lord Palmerston.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Huge powdered wig. It was a very confused look.
Yeah. Actually, this is a good moment to call upon the expertise of Dr. Wyman. Was there a plot against the Emperor Titus led by the Consul Marsus? This is kind of outside my window of Roman history knowledge.
Well, for a kickoff, there was no Consul Marsus under Titus, so no.
Okay. Was there any plot by anyone?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, right. No,
certainly not one that I remember.
But is that invention more or less ridiculous than Scorpus's post-race orgy?
Such a great question.
Yeah.
Such a great
question. Yeah. I mean, would they have had a post-race orgy? I don't know.
I guess they're
trying to do a like a chariot races as like footballers in the 2000s thing. Like Scorpus caught in steamy romp at Travel Lodge with three strippers. You know, is that they're trying to bring that energy to those about to die? Which I would like to imagine that in the ancient world. Like there's like kind of tabloids being like, yeah, did you hear about Scorpus cheating on his wife at the Primus Taverna?
At the victory orgy in the Subura.
Yeah.
Or maybe the victory orgy could have been set up by Scorpus's agent, just in case anyone thought he was gay.
Yeah, no, Scorpus actually facing prosecution for making it rain in a strip club and burying a lady of the pole under a hail of gold coins. Yeah, she actually died of her injuries.
Yeah.
Scorpus singing Flow Rider at karaoke.
Yeah. Scorpus!
Scorpus!
The coins bearing the emperor's face can only be put into the thongs of the most attractive strippers. Otherwise, you can be had up for treason. that's some Tarpeian rock shit.
Yeah, Tarpeian rock shit. Okay, so we have.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
This just leapt out at me immediately because they go on about how they're going to throw Marsus off the Tarpeian rock.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I'm like, were we still doing that then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Which is
it feels
another,
very like early Rome. It feels very like Punic Wars.
No, I agree with you. It's another deeply frustrating element of this show that every so often they're like, you know what, just to fuck with you, You specifically. We're going to get something right. You don't know when it's going to be. And it's also going to be something which pertains to the plot in no way whatsoever. But it's like a historical accuracy decimation. Like one out of every 10 things is like oddly fine.
Yeah. Sort of like an inverse decimation. Yes. Like they're killing 90% of the historical references.
They're killing 90% of the historical references. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's something. Also, we have the Vestal Flame, which is being kind of characterized as a sort of Tower of London Raven situation, has gone out because Antonia has put it out. Now, despite the fact that last week we had Antonia saying, "You were looking for the spark. This is the spark." Something that we were talking about in the chat, which I absolutely love about this episode. I would call the eruption of Vesuvius probably the most well-known episode in the whole of Roman history. Or certainly, it's certainly up there. Because
if the eruption of Vesuvius were a Seinfeld episode, it would be the contest.
It would be the contest. It's Emmy Award winning.
And Vesuvius would have lost.
Vesuvius
busted first in that scenario.
It generates 90% of the catchphrases. It's what it's like. People know it. Like we're talking about Scorpus's brand awareness. Vesuvius's brand awareness is through the fucking roof. It's Coca-Cola. People talk about the Vesuvius Christmas advert. Yeah. I don't.
It involves both Plinys. I mean, and they're like the Gallagher
both
brothers.
Plinys.
They're hard to get to participate in the
both
same thing.
Both Plinys! You
know? Yeah.
It's fucking... Yeah. Do you know how much it costs to see the Pliny reunion?
Algorithmic pricing on the Pliny reunion. I just want to hear his reminiscences about the natural world.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm.
Do it! Do it! I've got a guitar. Sing Wonderwall. Yes. So
Pliny the Younger seems like a champagne supernova guy to me.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, we can definitely come back to
well,
that.
Well, Pliny the Younger is like the brash, loutish one, but then Pliny the Elder actually wrote most of the songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Pliny the Younger was also
Pliny the Younger in his trademark Parker toga.
His trademark swagger.
Yeah.
Signing off his tweets, PY, as you were, PY.
Not got all day, mate. PY.
Not got all day, mate. Exactly. Beefing with Tacitus, etc.
Yeah,
things of that nature. Tacitus is Damon
no
Albarn.
But to Stan.
Right. Fine. So this is a super, super famous episode in Roman history. Even if you don't know the kind of specifics, even if you couldn't tell me who was emperor when Vesuvius erupted, everyone knows about Vesuvius. You learn about it in primary school. And they decided that this wildly famous episode was sort of a bit annoying and boring and have kind of relegated it to a meaningless sort of backdrop. We have a little bit of Titus is opening the city to refugees coming from Pompeii. They have a sort of guy who's just some guy who we could call.
Well, this is where we had my favorite bit, because they had this opening montage where you see all the ash coming down all over Rome and like the footage of the volcano erupting, people going like, it's the end of days. And then after like fully 5 minutes of this, one of his flunkies walks into Emperor Titus and goes, Vesuvius has erupted. It's like, thanks for that. I like that you can enjoy this show on two levels. There's like levels of people who have like basic object permanence. And then there's like what they consider to be the lowest common denominator Amazon Prime viewer. And it's someone who has no idea what Vesuvius is. It's someone who did not complete primary school. Like, that's the level they're operating on.
A second town has been hit by the volcano, sir.
Yeah.
And then Titus.
They've got the alphabet and that's about
Titus
it.
Titus carries on with his picture book. Because what else is he going to do?
The kind of person who puts on the crown and goes, yo, the British have got a monarchy.
You're saying this, mate. You're saying this. You know, the mountain out there doesn't look very happy, does it? No, looking mighty spooky. out there. Look, it's been sick. That's horrible. Oh God, it's burning. It's burning. This is interesting. Had it in like kind of living memory, had it erupted before Vesuvius?
So not in living memory, but it was pretty consistently active, as was Etna, which is not that far away.
Yeah.
Right. So they're used to the idea of active volcanoes, but honestly, gap in my knowledge, I'm not sure what kind of surveys they've done of the eruption history of Vesuvius around that time. I don't think we know how active it was. And I wonder how much evidence of its pre-79 activity is even accessible because of the scale.
Yeah. No, I'm just sort of like, I'm also interested in like whether this is like the eruption or just like an eruption, but it was like a really bad one.
Yeah.
It's definitely the eruption. Yeah. Right. But I feel like seismic activity and volcanic activity was pretty common. Like they would have been used to plumes of smoke.
Yeah.
They would have been used to some ash fall, I think.
Yeah.
Because like the Mediterranean is ridiculously seismically active, like tremendously so. Right. This is a common occurrence. And if you live anywhere, especially in the Eastern Mediterranean, there are fault lines and plate collisions and volcanic
activity. They get earthquakes like in Italy a fair amount still.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredibly common. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, even like the 1752, was it Lisbon earthquake, is one of the most devastating on record. Like, it's a common thing in the Mediterranean. So like, clearly they're going to be familiar with some level of volcanic activity, but I don't think we know how often or how much Vesuvius was erupting before this.
Because this was going to be my other question, actually, because they depict all of like an insane amount of ash fall like on Rome. Like, was the ash traveling that far?
Yeah. My parents, before I was born, Mount St. Helens erupted, and further away from where I which
is that the one that's in Yellowstone? Am I thinking of the right?
No, it's in Washington State. It's further away from Rome, from where I grew up, than Vesuvius is from Rome.
Okay,
the eruption was not as large, and there was still a ton of ash. Like you could, when I was a little kid, you could dig down on the playground and you could find like a solid 2-3 inch layer of ash, and it was, you know, 150 miles away from the mountain, not that close. Like,
wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You're now listening to Volcano Pod.
Volcano Hour.
Hey, look, I took an undergraduate class on earthquakes and volcanoes. Thank you. 20 years ago.
Well,
so
in that case,
wow.
Just saying.
In that case,
is there nothing this man doesn't know about?
In that case, as you were PW.
Yeah, you've still managed to be the most educated on volcanoes on this podcast.
That's right.
And I'm not going to lie to you, Pat. It's a low bar, but you have cleared it.
Yeah, I was going to say, none of us seem like capital V, capital G volcano guys.
You don't know that. I made a really good paper mache volcano when I was about six.
I 100% believe that. But was that for the craft or was it for the science, Phoebe?
Science is a craft.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the most humanities-ass answer I've ever heard right there. Extremely humanities-coded, Phoebe.
The original volcano guy, of course, was Vulcan. he was doing some ideal male living space down there.
He was.
He's like, it's just a bit of magma.
Yep.
He's just like sat inside a volcano on like a single lawn chair watching a 70-inch TV.
And of course, Vulcan is the guy who invented the everyday carry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say that like that's not like 70% of adult males' dreams. Like, you're telling me I can sit in a volcano and just hang out and nobody's going to bother me? Yeah. Like, that's
Vulcan. Come on, Joe Rogan.
Doctor No on the male living space forums. Just like, boy, do I have a suggestion for you.
Meanwhile,
there's like some like women's dating forum that's like, do you hate when you go back to a guy's place and they just live in a volcano? Like, I just don't like, why do single men just like live in a volcano?
Yeah, there's just one single beanbag chair and a mounted enormous TV.
Men would rather carve their face into the side of a volcano then go to therapy. That's what I'm learning from my time on Hinge.
That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, nothing. You haven't said anything inaccurate there.
For some people,
that would
be
so
therapy.
Great for like the kind of every deliveries though. Just being like, yeah, it's a volcano with my face carved in the side of it. Like you genuinely can't miss it. Like I'm confident that even you can't miss it.
Yeah, but what if there were other nearby volcanoes which also had faces carved on them? Can't expect every delivery driver to recognize your face.
What do you mean I was out? Just throw it in the top of the volcano. You think people are going to climb into the volcano to nick my shit?
Just
no.
Leave it between my nose and my top lip. Just sort of wedge it in my carved philtrum.
You are tremendously underestimating the will of the package thieves if you think they won't go into an active volcano.
They will go into an active volcano. That's probably true.
They absolutely will.
It's like a honey trap for package thieves. I'm luring them into the active volcano.
Yeah, come on. Come into my magma chamber, children.
Yeah, yeah. The one group on Earth that I've decided to declare war on for some reason, package thieves. The lowest of the low. Who would steal a man's package? You don't even know what's in it and you're taking it anyway for the sheer love of theft.
This is a wonderful package. Where did you steal it from? Number 46. Wonderful.
I mean,
you can see the authenticity mark here.
There's another joke to be had here about stealing a man's package, but I don't think we need to.
I don't think we need to debate ourselves like that, do we?
I had to acknowledge that it was there.
I don't think we need.
Do we have to follow up on it? No, but I feel like a land acknowledgement
package
would go awry.
Euripides' back eye. Am I right?
Oh gosh. This is not Family Guy.
I don't think Family Guy would do a reference to the Euripides' back eye.
I fail to see why not.
Even weirder than when I put on that production of Euripides' back eye.
All right, can I just
put on a Greek tragedy there, Brian? Putting on a little tragedy. Yep, got the arrogant protagonist there. Yep, checking
insists
up on
upon
the
wizard. I don't care for Euripides. He insists upon himself.
He does insist upon himself. I would observe that we have got to point number 3 on my notes.
Okay.
I'm just just
of how many, Phoebe?
Two scrolls.
Ironically, so the most modern and the most ancient method of measuring the length of a message.
Yeah. That's right. To be fair, loads of the notes are just so that I was sort of trying to kind of track what was going on. So the Vestal Flame gets put out by Antonia the MILF. This is when this is presumably supposed to be a kind of a, oh my God, this is a sign that Rome is about to fall. But we already have this coup going on. Like, I feel like she doesn't need to put out the flame at all. It feels like a kind of honestly, it feels like a bit an unnecessary bit of theatre from Antonia.
Yeah.
Little bit drama queen, and it's sort of just a method for setting up the fact that we then discover that the Vestal, the Mama Vestal, the main virgin, and like and honestly at this point, it feels quite funny that like that being the biggest virgin in town is also one of the most kind of honorable positions. Like, look, this one is a bigger virgin than all the rest.
She doesn't fuck at all.
She doesn't fuck
no fucking
at all.
Zero fucking.
She's Volcel. There's a kind of well, that's what Volcel stands for. It stands for Vestal.
Yeah.
Vestal voluntarily celibate.
The original Volcel's the Vestal.
Yeah, that's right.
But for the benefit of the listener, we've reduced Pat to convulsions.
He is. I am
kind of dying.
He's having a convulse.
Pat. Were they this prissy about the Vestal flame being extinguished? Is there any historical record for this?
I mean, I'm honestly not sure about the Vestal flame, but they did take the whole Vestal Virgin thing very seriously. But I think it's hard to tell how much of that was about sacrilege and how much of it was just like every once in a while you got to kill an elite person and just to keep it even, you know, just to keep the anger down. So I am not convinced that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to put this, but basically I think it serves as an outlet for popular anger at the elite. And when you can kill a Vestal, which they did not like that, it's known to have happened on a number of different occasions for either justifiably or on a pretext. But I think it's just mostly an outlet for popular anger against the elite. Like you catch it, you say you caught a Vestal doing something wrong, and then they get to, you've got a good reason to kill a patrician.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Because I mean, you would think, wouldn't you, if you're one of the Vestal virgins and you turn up to work in the morning, and you know the Vestal flames out, you're just gonna be like, look, no one's seen this.
I'm just gonna relight it. I mean, because the real problem is if you're a Vestal virgin. Is if you come up against one of the Vestal slags.
Oh, yeah. Natural enemies. Yin and yang.
Natural enemy of the Vestal. Yeah. Only one predator in the wild, and that is the Vestal slag.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's MILF matron versus Vestal virgin.
Yeah.
Like, these are the only two archetypes for upper-class Roman women, is either you're a conniving MILF mm-hmm. or you are a Vestal virgin. There's no...
Yeah, we have we haven't even got anachronistic wet wipe in this show. We've only got conniving MILF and Vestal virgin of the.
A wet wipe would be very anachronistic in ancient Rome, to be fair.
Well, you know, they had the first sewer system. You had to have something to flush down it.
Yeah, just like emperor-itis, people keep flushing their wet wipes, and it's blocking up the sewers.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to make
an appeal to the people.
See the Roman fatberg.
There's a fat and feces-berg.
Well, if you're
the olive oil from all the stridling.
If you're a Roman woman, who wants to take her makeup off, then you go and buy a package of like six little stridules, and then you just scrape them, scrape them off your face.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the original. It's the original double cleansing.
The best part about living in a rented insula is I just pour my olive oil straight down the sink into the hypocaust.
I can do that. No one.
I don't give
no
a fuck.
No one can. No one can stop me. Please insert for your own. Like, we do really have to get through this, so please insert for your own amusement. Roman beauty blogger, Roman beauty TikToker, something of that nature. So we can, you know, just that. Yeah, that's nice. There. That's something that. Mm-hmm. Something that's available to you, but you know, do that.
It's all about the Masters of Our Domain coloring.
Yeah,
book.
Exactly.
Like, you know, join the dots
Your own adventure. Yeah. But this whole situation with Antonia putting the flame out seems to be a method of finding out that the Vestal mother, the main Vestal virgin, the biggest virgin of the bunch, like she's got like. She's got her own special jacket for playing Dungeons and Dragons in. That's how big a virgin she is.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pat. I feel like that wounded you in a way
was,
I didn't intend.
That was directly targeted at 17-year-old me, Phoebe. That was directly targeted.
I'm sorry. I just heard this wince. So this is to reveal the fact that this woman, who by the way, in a crowded field, is the worst actor I've ever seen in my entire life. Like
the boarding school
school play girl who is Antonia and Marcus's daughter, which is brand new fucking information. I don't know this. Is this something that's been revealed before?
Well, we had previously established that.
Oh,
that was
okay. Well, I missed that. Okay, fine. Fine. I did not get that. So Antonia tries to get her daughter to intervene. On behalf of Marcus before he gets thrown off the Tarpeian rock. And she says, no, mother, I won't. I'm not interested in, I'm no longer a part of your family. I only serve Rome. I shag Rome and no one else because I'm the biggest virgin that they've got. I paraphrase, but that's about the size of it. Then we also have... some stuff about Titus welcoming refugees. This is pretty much the only time that the eruption sort of comes up. Marcus is not impressed, and this is part of what he's going to kind of take to the fence sitters. But again, we're not clear what they've been fence sitting about. Like, it's not, this is not something which is deemed to be important. But we do have Tenax and Domitian having what I've put here as a twink off. So they kind of meet and kind of, and sort of do various kind of twink like parries at each other. We have a.
Well, Domitian sends his twink to retrieve Tenax.
Like, he sends him on a kind of, on a sort of twink errand. He's his twink carrier pigeon.
Make way for the Imperial Twink.
Make way for the Imperial Twink, exactly. And we do have Domitian saying again something which is which you cannot imagine what process of research leads them to this line. But we have Domitian saying, "A man of auctoritas and gravitas, such as myself." And you think, why's that there as a line? What are you meant to make of it?
Okay. I would take a step back real quick, because I think there's an overarching theory that explains a lot of this. We touched on it in the last episode, in our discussion of the last episode, which is that this is not designed to be your primary screen show.
No.
And so a lot of this, I think, is explicable on the basis of they're not expecting you to have paid attention the first three times that they mentioned it, so we're going to keep mentioning it.
Well, that's very wise of them.
You've got to be playing Subway Surfers while you're watching this. You can't be consuming it raw. It's like cordial. You have to dilute it.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I'm 100% serious that if you think about this show in that way, every choice makes dramatically more sense. The way the characters are drawn, I was watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith last night.
The 2005
The TV one with Donald Glover and Maya Erskine.
Yeah,
Go ahead. I was kind of blown away. I was like, "This is really fucking good."
Because I started watching it and then sort of lost interest, because I can't remember what it was that annoyed me about it. Something annoyed me about it. And I was on a very...
There are several annoying things about it, but I think, like, if you're thinking about it as a quality show, it is done according to the rules of making a quality show.
Yeah, fine.
Where
okay,
they
yeah,
expect
I'll
you to be
that.
Paying attention, like, they're...
Yeah, no, I
you
think
are,
I did not
you
do
are
that.
Expected to... Well, it expects you to draw inferences about the characters' motivations and past histories, and they don't give you the whole picture. Yeah. That is a primary
They're not saying Vesuvius has erupted to you after showing you 5 minutes of footage of Vesuvius erupting.
Exactly.
Then with
that's,
a little like kind of like
distinction.
Little kind of definition of volcano sort of scrolling across the bottom of the screen, like one of those TikToks.
There's a link to Wikipedia to take you there if you really.
And then we have Centurion Obviosus showing up and he's doing a little dance in the corner.
It's a little dramaturgical thing they call Chekhov's volcano, which is that if a volcano erupts and you show 5 separate minutes of footage of it, you then have to say a volcano has erupted to make sure that the dumbest people watching realize that that's what just happened.
So I honestly think this show makes a ton more sense if you think about it as being like, as being designed to be watched out of the corner of your eye by somebody who doesn't give a shit. That is the target audience for this. I think if you think about it in those terms, then most of the choices that they've made are much more explicable. Does that mean that they're good choices? No.
Not as such.
But no, not as such is the kindest thing I can say.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to try watching this out of the corner of my eye while I'm doing other things. And suddenly it was a much more enjoyable experience because I wasn't thinking about the gaping plot holes, the inexplicable decisions to cast or what have you. Like all of that, I was like, oh, this is just a thing that I have on in the background. And I'm like, oh, horses, chariot crashed. Hell yeah. Like, and it's a much more enjoyable experience if you're like, there's an inexplicable lesbian sex scene. Which certainly got my attention as I was
you're watching a kind of match of the day version. It's all just like goals and yellow cards, like, because you're just looking up from your phone and it's like chariot crash, lesbian sex scene. You're missing out on the confusing interactions between the characters that make no sense. Explaining what a volcano is,
now you're getting it. This is if if that's the experience that you're going for with this, then I think it's much more enjoyable. Like the key is you got to lower your standards. That's you got to yeah. drop them all the way down into the gutter, and then we can build from there.
So I'm
if you're coming at this thinking that it's going to be like actually good, then
you're going to be disappointed,
brother. You're in the wrong place.
Some guys,
you need to come at this ready to fuck a man who lives in a volcano and owns one chair, and then you're
then
ready.
You're
to
ready,
watch
and then you're ready
to
go.
Yes.
And some guy shows up with like a little like square of slate, and they're going right. Okay. Yeah. All right, so it says here a volcano is. No, I didn't know. I did not know that there were this many active volcanoes in the world. That's actually we didn't. No, I'll send you the link. Remind me. Forgets instantly. Never mentions it again.
It's a show designed to be watched by someone who is actively trying to find more OnlyFans accounts to subscribe to.
Look, I'm right here.
That's the primary activity you're supposed to be doing while you're watching the show is like, do I want to pay $6.99 a month?
It's a very specific piece of knowledge that you
how
got
much,
there. That
chance?
You got there, Pat. Quite a
what's that?
Quite a specific piece of knowledge about OnlyFans.
You couldn't use coins with the Emperor's face on to subscribe to a Soli Fanati. You had to go and exchange them for these kind of like special vice
to
coins.
A Soli Fanati. Just want to make sure that everyone, everyone caught that there. Yeah. Run by the, by the Vestal Slags, in fact.
Yeah.
Have you heard that Soli Fanati from school? Yeah. She's a
Vestal Slag now. I know.
I had geography with her. She didn't know what a volcano
did
was
you,
either.
Did you ever? No, she wouldn't look at me. She might do now. She might do now that I'm a fence sitter in the Senate. What else? What else happens? Oh, we've got a bit of a love story between the Spanish Uber driver and
the youngest
Numidians. We don't need to talk about that. It's not interesting. Let's just. Move past it. Blow past it.
We get a fun little scene where she's kissing him and he's like, oh, stop it. I'm going to get too horny. I won't want to stop. And she's like, nah, just fuck me. For real.
Yeah. So that's, again.
Who says, I'm a Vestal Slag, actually. So come at me.
I'm a Puella suicidus.
And the Emperor is said to have sought a Goth DF.
He sent scouts as far as Germania.
What, in order to find his
in search of a muscle mummy.
In search of a muscle mummy, indeed. We don't have any muscle in this either.
When I said I wanted a goth GF, this isn't meant. It's just a sack of Rome.
She keeps trying to destroy my temples. What the fuck? Look at what's happening. No,
I meant like goth in like a My Chemical Romance way, not like Visigoth.
Yeah, no, she's
you brought completely the wrong woman here.
Yeah, I mean, there's just turning plundering my temples into a euphemism for pegging. Like, is that?
Yeah, he likes.
Why are you walking so
plunder?
Funny? Goth GF plundered my temple last
night. Goodness me, Patrick, you're really on the blue this evening, aren't you? You're really.
Yeah. Sorry, it's been a long. We are recording this the day after Election Day, so my thoughts are all over the place here. There's a lot kicking around upstairs.
We're doing, and
apparently what's coming out are OnlyFans models and pegging. I sincerely apologize.
We're doing good, boys. We're doing good.
This is a lovely first century AD strap-on. Now, how did your grandfather come by it?
No, that's not what I meant.
Well, it was fairly straightforwardly. That's how
we came by it. We get Domitian reinstates the gold faction.
Oh, yeah, so...
Tenax has to toddle off and re-recruit Scorpus by getting him arrested.
Domitian has been given permission to reinstate the gold faction because he has tipped Titus off of this attempted coup against him. And a note that I have here is that in the tiny Senate, in the model Senate chamber, they have a kind of circle in like a spotlight with Marcus in it. And one, it makes him look like he's about to perform the Billy Flynn tap dance from Chicago because of the way they've lit it with a spotlight. And that's really distracting.
Tonight, Matthew.
That's really, really distracting. And second, he says, oh, you know, all these, this imperial family, they're spending money on garish monuments while Rome starves. And I was like, say it. Say the fucking line. You're not going to say it. And I am getting steadily more infuriated by the fact that I haven't heard the words bread or circuses even once. It's driving me up the wall. I've seen the thumbs, so I've been temporarily mollified by the sight of the thumbs.
Yeah, they've not been cleared by the lawyers.
Not been cleared.
They're like, well, the bread and the circus lobby are too powerful.
Yeah, we haven't got the rights to bread and circuses, so we've got to call it.
You don't want to get sued by Warburton.
Toast and fun fairs is what we've got to call it. It doesn't have quite
toast and fun fairs. Bread and circuses from Lidl.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it. So we've got the bread and circuses dupes today. These are all from Aldi.
Emperor Tito and his toast and fun fairs program.
Okay, but how much cooler would he have been if his name was Tito?
Yeah. Are we going Jackson 5 or are we going Croatian?
Both.
Tito Jackson.
I mean, I was thinking of a guy I buy tacos from who has neck tattoos. His name is Tito. He's great.
Tito's Tacos.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good.
No, he doesn't own the place. He's an employee.
Oh, okay. Because if he has neck tattoos, then it's tattooed Tito's Tacos.
Tatted Tito Tacos.
Yeah. Say that without your false teeth falling out. We have a car showroom guy saying these are new chariots, but they're lighter and they're faster. And you're like, oh, brilliant. This is presumably going to come up again. No, it doesn't. Guess fucking what? No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's got a CD changer.
It's got a CD changer.
It's in the trunk, though, so you got to stop the car if you want to change
it. It's got heated seats. If you want it to not be bright fucking green, then that's going to cost you an extra 10 grand. Yes. Yeah. We have Titus saying, I'm beginning to see what they see in this Scorpus, which again is sort of present
Scorpus,
which is presented as if it's this sort of great kind of portentous line, but it really isn't. Kwame's going to have to fight Flamma again because he tried to kill Domitian.
They're like, well, let's make him fight the big fella again.
I've got a very complicated joke here about Pliny the Elder referring to the lesbians as the Latians, but I don't understand what I mean by this.
Decoding our own notes like it's linear A.
This is honestly sometimes looking at my notes, I'm like a kind of baboon being confronted with the Rosetta Stone, like just like fuck it, what does this? I don't know what I meant by this. I'm assuming that Latia was a Roman name for the island of Lesbos. I'm assuming that's what I mean, but I
maybe
who knows.
I mean was it?
I don't know.
I feel like it's funny that at the time you knew this fact and you've now forgotten it.
That's
what's quite incredible, that you're like, you're back forming the logic but you can't actually remember any of the
I do have quite a young child. I think like it's done something weird. Yeah. Like my brain's turned into a Swiss cheese.
We have had a reappearance of Siegfried Baboon.
Yeah, Siegfried Baboon, old favourite character.
Yeah. Fully years ago, Patrick, on this podcast, I tried to say Siegfried Sassoon, and I just could not get the syllables out of my mouth. And in the end, after like four attempts, what came out was Siegfried Baboon. and so our famous World War One poet, Siegfried Baboon.
Ursus the Bear, Mr. Bear, has sent Tenax a mean note saying he's going to kill all of his boys. And Tenax is like, you can't kill my boys. They're my boys. Yeah, not the boys.
Need my boys.
And then we have Tenax doing some, like...
You want my puerie, you got to go through me.
Exactly. We've got some Tenax doing some kind of John Wick-style martial arts knife fighting. And then Ursus just, like, grabs him and just starts just, like, wailing on him. Just, like, he kicks the shit out of him. Like, Tenax is definitely dead. Like, there is no way that he would survive this kind of pummeling, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, he gets a real pounding.
He does indeed get a real pounding from the bear. So I have a few more notes from this, and then I have nothing left to say. this is me done. Number one is I've worked out what Ursus's accent is, and it's the same as Friar Tuck's from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. So if you return to that, there's a bit when Friar Tuck pushes the villainous priest out the window, and he says, "You mustn't forget the gold to pay the devil on your way to hell," like that. And that's what Ursus sounds like. So, also, Ursus said to Tenax, "This is something to ponder on when you're roasting in hell," and I'm not persuaded that in 79 AD this was a meaningful concept, roasting in hell.
Nope, there were no flames in hell.
It was cold. Yeah. Dark and cavernous.
Yeah. Yeah, hell was like Britain.
Dark and cavernous.
Yeah.
Wet.
Wet.
Yes. Soggy. A damp hell.
Yeah, it's quite camp, actually, the sort of the Roman and Greek perception of hell. Like, you've got to get in a little boat to go there. Like one guy, like with one other guy, and you've got to give him one coin and he rows you across.
Yep. That...
And then you get in there and everyone's just like, it's shit here. Like, honestly, no, if I could be alive, I would.
I mean, there are no torments as such. I don't feel like I've been punished for a life poorly lived. It's just there's not much here, is it? It's like a retail park.
Yeah, it's sort of like Swindon.
It's so funny because... As I imagined a retail park, the specific retail park I was thinking of is physically on the outskirts of Swindon, which is...
Yeah. I mean, it's got to B&M owned bargains, but there's not much in there really that you want.
There's a Sofology there, but you go in and none of the sofas are any cop, I'll tell you. I once spent an extremely unpleasant several hours at this specific edge of Swindon retail park because my car broke down and it was boiling hot and I was just sort of hanging around this.
So you went through purgatory. So you were in Swindon but for several hours rather than for an eternity.
The suburbs of hell is this Swindon retail
like
park.
An unbaptized baby. You had to spend a predetermined
and
amount of time.
I am an unbaptized baby, so it does it that
who bought
out.
You the indulgence to get you out of the
Oh, so ironic. It was Martin Luther.
Martin Luther, funnily enough, did buy an indulgence for his father when he was in Rome.
And that was a bit of my joke. You
covering his bases.
Talk about a fence sitter. And then we have a big fucking Star Wars reveal where Ursus tells Tenax that the paedophile master that they killed was Tenax's father. How he knows this?
Yeah.
Utterly unclear. Yeah.
Now we're on the British playground. Your dad's a nun.
How is Tenax not just said, well, how do you know that? Have you got any proof of this whatsoever? No, probably not. But what seems to be the meaningful part of this is that means that you're a patrician, you have patrician blood in your veins. It's like, isn't it more salient that he was apparently sexually abused by his dad and then burnt him to death? Isn't that more narratively satisfying?
In the grand context of Roman history, what you think, this is the first patrician to sexually abuse his child? Like, that's Tuesday. in Rome.
Yeah. Mm.
Like these people know what they're doing when it comes to child sexual abuse. These are not novices. This is not their first go around.
To be clear, Pat is not saying to be fair to them. This is not a complimentary. They know what they're doing.
No. No, this is it's a simple statement of fact about the nature of the nature of life.
Yeah, they love doing
like,
that.
Yeah. Say what you will about the morality of being a pedophile, but these guys were some of the best to ever play the game.
Dirty bastards, weren't they?
Yeah, no, it's one of the deeply fucked up aspects of life in ancient Rome that you kind of have to, not like, I'm not saying you come to terms with it in a moral sense, but like it is a thing that existed and it is a thing that happened. And if you want to make sense of the Roman aristocracy, you need to bear in mind that many of them were in fact practicing nonces in a way that—
Not just cultural.
No, not just cultural. Yeah. Though all of them were cultural nonsense.
Well, I mean, obviously, for British listeners, this will be very hard to imagine. I mean, could you imagine a sort of like a perpetuated elite system with an ingrained culture of paedophilia? It's hard to wrap your head around.
The horror.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Although, of course, because in those days, you know, paedophiles had no natural predators because there was no McDonald's car park to lure them to. And Facebook Live didn't exist.
In the promise of missing a Vestal slag, but an underage one.
Yeah. That's,
They wouldn't even have had the concept of underage Vestal slag.
Again, where is Chrysis Hansenus when you need him?
Yeah. Well, they didn't trust him because he was a Christian. And a German.
So, honestly, this is kind of growing on me now that I've given up, which feels like a metaphor for life in a lot of ways. But I'm enjoying it more now that I'm expecting it to be shit.
I can
lean into that. And so from my perspective, that means that this show is getting better as I am shorn of my expectations for it not being shit. Now I can revel in the specific brand of shit that it wants to be.
Yeah. You're now free. You're experiencing a higher state of being.
Exactly.
It's like the bit in Band of Brothers where Captain Spears says, "Your problem is that you need to accept that you're already dead, and that's the only way you can function as a soldier should." And in the same way, when you're watching those about to die, you have to accept that the show is bad. And then you will reach the necessary state of ataraxia, which allows you to enjoy those about to die.
That is exactly to a T my thesis here.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Look, what an episode, guys. This has been a bonus episode. So thank you very much for being a Patreon subscriber. Obviously, we don't need to explain the Patreon to you because you're on it. You're getting it. You're here. You're loving it. We have heard the calls for a Megalopolis bonus episode, and we will be tabling that.
We're in the process.
I mean, we only have a couple more episodes of this, right? We could probably Megalopolis there in the
Megalopolis.
Yeah, we could.
Where are we inserting the Megalopolis, Phoebe?
Doesn't matter.
Vestal Virgin saying, "I serve the Megalopolis." That's all I care about.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, my dear.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, goody good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On that note.
HBO's Rome Season 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's available still. There's a separate Patreon for the Rome cast. It is not a subscription. You can buy Season 2 for $15, all 10 episodes. You can listen to Season 1 for free. I'll put a link in the show notes, patreon.com/Romecast, if you want to check that out. Yeah. Yeah.
And please do, because that show is much better than this one.
That's true.
That is true. Yeah. It depends what kind of show discussion you prefer. Do you prefer us discussing a good show or a bad show?
Or do you like both? In which case?
Yeah. In which case?
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself. It's treat season.
All right, I think we've allowed this to kind of trail.
We're done. We're done here. All right, yeah. We will see you next week.